Welcome to the Inside Commodity Futures Podcast. My name's Craig Turner. I'm your host. I'm a broker here at Daniels Trading, also author of Turner's Take newsletter. You can find out more about me at turnerstake.com. Hope you had a great weekend here. We're checking in with you Monday after the grain and livestock close. So last time we left off, we were just saying check out the markets Sunday night, see what happens with Italy on the referendum. The no vote came in, kind of was as expected. Just for those who weren't really following that too closely, what was going on is Italy had a vote basically saying, do we want to give the central government more power? They were going to have to change the constitution to do that. If they did give the central government more power, the Italian central government more power, the thought was then they'd be able to give more power over to the European authorities, the European Union. Italy, the citizens of Italy didn't want to do that. So a no vote wasn't, they're leaving Europe or the EU, but the no vote was really more about they didn't want to go in the direction of centralizing power, of transferring that over to the European Union, and therefore if they're going to have now elections again, to have a little bit more of a government that goes the other way, more independent from Europe, that eventually Italy could be on the path of exiting the Eurozone, or maybe just taking a step back from it. So the euro on the reaction right off the news was down pretty good, maybe a point and a half, maybe 2 points at one point. But I think what we saw is the market was expecting Italy to vote no. And then what it really was is, you know, I think we were seeing some sell the rumor, buy the fact on Sunday night. And the euro ended up going higher. What's interesting about the euro is, when the pound went down at Brexit, there was an actual United Kingdom currency and a euro currency, and you know when the United Kingdom said they were leaving, you could act. You know, one, it was a surprise, and that caused the market to sell off. But also, there was another currency to sell against the euro. You know, there's no lira out there that trades. So when Italy voted to say no to that referendum, you couldn't go out and sell the lira. You could probably do something with the Italian bonds, but not with the lira. It doesn't really exist anymore. So there's no point in probably shorting the euro heavy at that point, because you also have to think, think back to when they thought Greece was going to leave the eurozone. There were arguments that the euro would get stronger just because, like, Greece was kind of, of all those countries, a little bit more of a weak link economically. And the euro, which primarily, its value, you can argue, gets derived from Germany, would have one last problem child to take care of. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens here with the euro and Italy and some other countries, kind of veer towards leaving. I think the biggest benefit in terms of a currency play one that could benefit well is I continue to think the United Kingdom and the pound will benefit. I mean, when they voted for Brexit, Obama was still the president. He was not behind the whole Brexit. It was siding more with the European Union. European Union sounded like they wanted to make it hard on Great Britain to leave. But now that we have a Trump administration coming in, they want more economic cooperation with Great Britain. They want to establish the special relationship again. So, that's good for Great Britain. Also, you got to figure if Italy or other European countries come, Italy or other European countries decide to leave Europe or take a lesser role in the European Union, that the United States and Great Britain would actually want to have more economic pacts and treaties with them. So, the United Kingdom, and the Great British Pound really could benefit from that if we keep on seeing that kind of trend going on. So definitely something to keep. I write about the pound a lot, and that is something we'll definitely keep on having an eye on. I want to get into corn and natural gas today. I'm actually going to be out of the office Tuesday and Wednesday. I'll be working. I'll be in Kansas City at the Van Trump conference down there, but back on Thursday. So not going to be talking on the podcast tomorrow or Wednesday, but definitely get back Thursday. Natural gas, we were talking about natural gas in January, got to about 365. We'd be at resistance. We're there. Saw some people interested selling call spreads. There are some people taking shots at short in the market. Others were looking for a close over 365 or that 370 area, taking out stops and doing another leg higher on a breakout. So we're at that point now. I can see traders lining up on both sides of this and keep an eye on it. Again, like there was, it was, you know, no one wants, not too many people just want to get short natural gas here, because if the weather does get cold, that is going to be a problem. We'll keep on seeing it go higher. But I have seen some creative plays with writing call spreads, and I've definitely seen some traders trying to figure out a way to get long natural gas, maybe on a stop on a breakout higher. So, well, one bullish play, one bearish play there, depending on what happens, going to probably be weather dependent. All right, so finally, I do want to talk about corn. Corn was up 11 to 12 cents today. Halfway to limit up, which I never thought we were going limit up today in corn, but the fact that we were just up 10 or 11 cents at 1.12 cents in that market, where a big rally these days is 3 or 4 cents, was really quite surprising. At first, no one really knew what was going on. There was rumors of short covering. People were talking about how, you know, maybe Taiwan normalizing relations to the United States would create more export demand. Taiwan is one of the top 10 importers of corn, and the United States represents 40% of that business. Maybe they can get more if the U.S. is more of a sponsor of their legitimacy and government. So there's those stories going around. But by the end of the day, we figured, kind of pieced it all together. And it looks like some of the latest weather reports are calling for lower than normal precipitation for Argentina between now and through February. So if that's the case and they don't get as much rain as predicted, and they do have a La Nina down there, not a strong La Nina. It's a weak to mild La Nina, and it could end any time, but it could also extend through, most of the growing season. And, it's not going to, no one thinks it's going to just completely crush the crops down there, but we can start talking about if it is that dry, taking some yield off here. It won't be a drought, but the crops certainly won't perform the way they're thinking. So, and that was enough, I think, to push corn up 10 or 11 cents. What's interesting with corn is even if you look at, let's say, where are we right now? March corn closed at about 358. You look at that 368 level, that's some pretty big highs in March corn from late October. We had that post-harvest rally from September into October, and we topped out right around 368. If we take out 368 in March corn, we could rally at a 380 and then maybe that 395 area, $4, and then the big highs from last June are 450. But with a 2.4 billion carryout right now, we still got a ton of corn. But if Argentina, they're big on the export market, second largest producer of corn outside of after the United States, they have some serious production issues. We could start seeing a lot more export demand coming back to the United States for corn. It's a big short in the corn market, and it's something that we're going to have to really keep an eye on. Now, if all of a sudden the rains come and the weather patterns change and La Nina goes away, we're right back where we started maybe in the corn market, but we've got a real weather story now for South America. It is something to pay attention to. There is a long way to go for this corn crop in Argentina. Can't stress that enough. We are only in early December. We still got a couple of months, at least for that crop. So there's times where it can rain, the weather can get worse. We'll see what happened with yield, but today was a big day where I think it was the National Weather Service said could have lower precipitation between now and the end of February. So that's a big deal in my book, and I think that's why you saw the big rise in volume today. Wouldn't be surprised to see commitment of traders is always based on the end of Tuesday. So when the commitment traders come out on Friday, it'll be based on tomorrow's numbers. Be interesting to see how many shorts got out of corn, today would have been probably a pretty good example of it. So if you're a farmer, I would say hold off if you're going to market a little corn here. I mean, maybe if you haven't done anything, you might want to if you're looking to make some sales at the recent highs of, you know, that 365 to 370, you know, any kind of risk management strategy would probably say that, you know, it makes smart to do something there. Even if it's not just straight sales with the elevator and the futures market, maybe buy a protective put. But if we break through that, I think you really got to see how far this goes. So we'll be writing about that, and I'll be talking more about that in Turner's Take Ag Marketing. You can find me on at Turner's Take Ag on the web on that. So that's what we'll be. That's what we're going to be following here. Again, it'll be a little bit of a shorter podcast. But if you have any questions about what we talk about in the pound, natural gas, corn, other markets, whether it be like seasonal, technical, fundamental, feel free to contact me. You can find me on Twitter at Turner's Take. You can find me on the website. And if you do go to turnerstake.com, all my contact information is in there, and also with the show notes. So that's about it for today. If you need anything, you always give us a call here, and I'll talk to you again on Thursday.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.